Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Get ready. It's time for a big exclusive with Valerie Denise Jones. Welcome to the show.
All right, guys. Welcome. Happy Thursday. I hope you're having a great day. I've had a very, very beautiful, productive day. So I definitely wish the same for you. 929-477-1167 is the number that should be locked in your phone. Again, 929-477-1167. We got a great show for you today because today I want to join forces to put a halt to something that I cannot necessarily prove is happening behind the scenes. But the part I can prove is that it seemed to be a little one-sided. I do not appreciate the fact that it just seemed to be a little colored, if you will, right? That bothers me. I don't believe in imbalance. I like balance. And I'll leave it there. I will leave it there and leave it to your imagination. I definitely will. Speaking of imagination, whatever you imagine, you can get. And you can get it at today's sponsors, his business. Just go to his website and order a delicious cheesecake because he's got so many wonderful, delicious flavors. I think over 70 at this point. What I'm going to do is real briefly before we get the show started right now, I'm going to give him an opportunity to briefly discuss how to contact him and also maybe give us a few taglines or some motivation, you know, to cheat on our diets because this is January, right? You had goals to lose weight and get your body tight, and it's possible cheesecakes may or may not help, but I think this particular cheesecake will, because we just recently find out it's good for people who are lactose intolerant. So maybe it's good for people who are eating healthy and living right. So welcome, Mr. Davis, to the show real quick before we get this party started. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Valerie, how are you?
I'm good. I want to give you a big welcome. Definitely. There you go. I'm known for my soundbite, so I had to do that. Yeah. So real quick, I wanted to make sure I mentioned you today. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. Can you give us just a little, you know, a few little tidbits as it relates to the tasty bits that you serve at to the bayandbackcheesecakes.com?
Yes. I won't take long. To the Bay and Back Cheesecakes is a 100% black-owned, family-owned business based in Sacramento, California. The recipes were invented by our mother, who's still alive. She's 95 years young, and she created over 70 different flavors. And so we formed an organization, and we specialize in over 70 different flavored cheesecakes. This weekend for the Super Bowl, we're unveiling our purple cheesecake, like Purple Rain for Prince and Purple Haze for Jimi Hendrix. For us, it's purple cheesecake, which is blueberry swirl. And so we were inspired by Black Wall Street, and we're inspired by Valerie Denise Jones. So I'll end it with that.
Thank you so much. I tell you, I never know what to expect when I talk to you. But I appreciate the love just the same. I really, really, truly do. Yeah, I hope that you join us because, like I said, we got a great conversation. It's a must-have. It's definitely a must-have because there is definitely something going on, and it's really, really bugging me that, again, it just seems so colored. And that's an old-school term that I learned from my grandmother. So maybe I'm speaking in code at this point, and because I don't want to be so blatantly obvious, but I want to be blatantly obvious, if that makes sense, Mr. Davis.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, I did want to say that it's really a compliment when somebody says that you're an old soul. So that's what you just identify. You really are an old soul, and that's good.
It's
nothing derogatory. It's actually a compliment from the elders.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And I want to, at this time, while we wait for one of today's guests who's going to be part of this roundtable, because she is a self-proclaimed expert as it relates to Michael Jackson. She says that Michael Jackson faked his death and is still with us. He's still alive, and it's movies, documentaries, lies, such as this one, those that we're going to unpack today, might be a reason that he will never resurface again. So we're hoping that this isn't another gimmick, because Michael was known, well, we did know him to be with us. He was known for gimmicks. I don't know if you guys remember the oxygen mask, and he said he was going to take the oxygen tank with him, and it went wrong. The whole publicity stunt went wrong, and he ended up with the title. I think they started calling him Wacko Jacko, if my memory serves me correctly. But that's what Pearl Jr. says, that she says, yeah, he's still alive, he's still with us, and he's in hiding. So quite often I like to ask her, you know, to give me updates as to what's going on behind the scenes. So anyway, without further ado, Mr. Lambert, this whole thing is based on an article that I read called Surviving, Leaving Neverland, Why Muting Michael Jackson Won't Be Easy. And, of course, this is like a play on Surviving R. Kelly, and we definitely want to talk to the people who I've invited to be part of this roundtable. We definitely want to talk about that, so I want you to chime in as well, because we definitely need the elders' opinion as it relates to what is going on right now. This is crazy. So I think I will do things in reverse at this time, because I think my guest, I think she has an 818 number, and I don't see her number on the board just yet. So I'm going to play the clip, and when we come back, we'll just kind of jump into it and then find a way to segue into it once she joins us. So let me see how great of a host, a DJ I am, and see if I can pull this thing off in reverse. I want you guys to enjoy this, and when we come back, we will talk.
During the last Sundance Film Festival, a four-hour documentary called Leaving Neverland was presented, which will have its premiere on HBO in the spring. But the documentary has already aroused great controversy and is criticized by fans. The documentary presents the story of two men who accused Michael of molesting them in the mid-90s. Some viewers left the cinema before the final credits. Others gave the documentary a standing ovation. To find out about the story in depth, watch our video. Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch creation was inspired by Peter Pan's Neverland. It was in this place where he used to invite his young friends, and together with them, he could enjoy the childish carelessness that he never experienced in his childhood. But according to reports presented in the document, it was also where traumatic events happened. According to TMZ, this production is divided into two parts. The first presents the stories of 36-year-old Wade Robson and 40-year-old James Safechuck, who explained the abuse they suffered by the musician when they were children. Wade mentioned that Jackson showed him pornography and served him alcohol, and Safechuck claims that Michael called him his first sexual experience. Jackson also had to pay the boys with jewelry to have relationships with them. Safechuck remembers that the star was with him in his castle, at the pool, in the attic, and at the railway station, and once even arranged something like a marriage ceremony, during which he gave him a gold ring with a diamond. Robson says that when he was 14 years old, he met the musician occasionally. Once he invited him to a hotel and took advantage of him. The next day, Jackson allegedly called the boy and asked to destroy his underwear he was wearing the night before, just in case there was any bloodstains on it so that Robson's mother couldn't see it. There are more drastic details in the film. Kevin Fallon from The Daily Beast wrote, "Whatever you thought you knew or were aware of, the content of this is more disturbing than you could imagine." Meanwhile, Variety representative Matt Donnelly said that Sundance has provided healthcare professionals in the theater for audience members potentially upset by Leaving Neverland's explicit descriptions of sexual abuse against underage boys. The second part of the documentary is a reminder of the trial and dissertation from 2005. December 18th in 2003, Jackson was charged with 7 charges of child molestation and 2 counts of serving alcohol to minors to commit this crime. Jackson denied the accusations, and less than 2 years later, there was a huge trial that resulted in the artist being acquitted. During that trial, one of the witnesses was Robson, who under oath testified that Jackson never abused him. The boy also defended the artist in the infamous interview for Access Hollywood. It must be remembered that after the death of the star, Robson in 2013 and Safechuck in 2014 filed for harassment, arguing that stress and trauma forced them to reveal the truth and the abuse from the star. Both were rejected by the court, and the judge did not assess the validity of their allegations. At the press conference after the film's premiere, both men admitted that they had not received any compensation for taking part in the documentary, and it was created because they wanted to tell their story and shed light upon the problem of child molestation. A reviewer of the movie from Variety, Owen Gleiberman, writes, "Dan Reed forces us to confront the reality that the greatest pop genius since the Beatles was beneath his talent a monster." Meanwhile, the family and fans of Michael Jackson were pretty furious. The company dealing with the property and rights to the work of Michael Jackson, in a statement for USA Today, wrote, "The film takes uncorroborated allegations that supposedly happened 20 years ago and treats them as fact." In front of the cinema, where the documentary was screened, many of Jackson's fans were standing there with their banners. What do you think about this whole case? Are you curious about Michael Jackson's new documentary? Do you think that these two men are telling the truth?
All right, guys, we're back. This is a special edition of Big Exclusives. Big Exclusives, just so you know, FYI, to all our international listeners, callers, and everybody who support this channel, support me, support the family. I've been doing a lot of, shifting, moving, stuff around. I'm all about feng shui. And I want to go back to the way things were Tuesdays. 4 p.m., Fridays, 4 p.m. Thursdays are for special editions, and they're normally at 4 p.m., but I'm sort of producing a show because I want to help out domestic violence victims over the course of the next few weeks. So we're playing with my 4 o'clock time slot. That's why we're on at 2 o'clock today. So that's, That's what's up. That's what's going on. 929-477-1167, Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays and Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, make sure when you call in, your background is quiet, because we do share this episode, all of our episodes, on a plethora of platforms. We're all over the internet. That's why I renamed my entire everything, my ecosystem, Big Media Worldwide, because that's what we're trying to do. We want to save lives, people. We want to get the word out. We want to stimulate thought. This is not solely for entertainment. I hope you have a great time. I hope it makes you laugh. Especially when people like Supreme and Nate and a couple other people are in the building, they make you laugh. I get it. I totally get it. But when you walk away, your paper should be full of notes. Full of notes. Notes that you can talk about in your social media, talk about with your family, talk about with young adults who need to hear this, because our lives are at stake out here, guys. And that's why this thing is important today. This subject matter is important because it's so much bigger than just what's going on with the Michael Jackson documentary. No, it just seems like we're being targeted. The legacies are being destroyed, and culture and our history is being whitewashed. So let's talk about this. I'm going to start opening up some lines. Let's break this thing down. And, of course, I'm going to start with my trustees so we can get this party started. I think I'm going to start guessing, too. Got a lot of the same area codes on the board. Welcome 202210 to the show. Welcome 267602 to the show. Welcome 904-520 to the show, and 407-308 to the show. Your mic is live. And Mr. Davis, press the number 1 if you'd like to chime in. And for those others who are sitting in the cut, just press the 1 if you'd like me to open your mic. I see you on the board, but I won't open up your mic until you permission to do so. So at this time, again, welcome everybody. How are you? Welcome to Big Exclusive.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good afternoon, Valerie, LA.
Good afternoon. Hello. How are you, LA? How's the weather?
Very cold, but I'm making it. I'm a survivor.
I'm sorry for you. I'm so sorry for you. God bless your heart. Supreme, welcome. 267-602. 267-602, welcome. Come in, introduce yourself.
How you doing? The Supreme Resurrector. Doing good. Everything's fine. Life is great. No complaints.
Life is great.
No need.
Yeah, how's your weather?
No need to complain. It's very cold. It's 18 degrees right now. I guess that's the high of the day. It was 6 degrees when I left out this morning. So I guess thank God
for the
little in-between. We got sun. How about that? That's good. The sun is out bright, and it's very cold, though.
Wow. Here's somebody who would definitely understand why I think that's cold. 904-520, Florida in the house. Florida in the house. How's the weather where you are, Mr. Campbell?
Oh, it's actually gotten better. You know how Florida is. Jacksonville is crazy. It's 54 degrees here today.
Oh, my
God. That is the high. That's cold for us, though.
Yeah. Tell the people who you are, Mr. Campbell, so the world knows, not that they don't already.
How you doing? It's Nate Campbell, former three-time lightweight champion of the world, and soon to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Florida Boxing Hall of Fame, here at your disposal.
All right. And again, as I mentioned, I'm just going to leave your mic open. Mr. Lambert, Mr. Davis, if you're not ready to talk, just mute yourself, and then when you're ready to talk, just jump in, because I want to jump into this, because we got a sort of shorter than normal show, not so much short, but shorter than normal. Okay, so guys, you heard the trailer. I first want to ask you, what is going on? It seems like way too many of our people are being sacrificed, and they're not holding other people who have done that and more. Their stories aren't making it to mainstream media, and it's people like me who are keeping it alive, because we need to talk about the Harvey Weinsteins and you know, a lot of these other people who are, I guess, quote unquote, just as guilty. So let's start there. What do you think is going on, and why is it happening in January, right before Black History Month?
Who wants to go first? Because I have a whole bunch to say about it.
Just jump in, I guess.
Well, here's my issue. My issue is simple. I feel like I don't blame so much the media for what's going on, because the media is only going to do or say what they think they will react to. We've shown and proved that we will sacrifice, destroy, kill our own just because the media tells us some stuff about one another. The reason they're doing it is because they want to, the narrative is that the black man has always been that the black man is a raper or an abuser, no matter what. So I just think that they're doubling down, you know, on what's happening, because the truth of the matter is, if you notice, ever since black folk found out that white folk are dying faster than they've been reproducing, there's been a big push to vilify the black man, and it's working. It is working. Our women don't like us. They don't trust us, and it's scary. It's a scary situation for black men right now. What better way to destroy a race if you're not going to destroy the man, the head, the strength? And so Michael Jackson, who is one of our greatest, he is the greatest entertainer of our lifetime. They're destroying every, have you ever noticed that every black artist or black, everyone that we hold to high esteem has been torn down or is being torn down? Just take a look at it.
Take a look at it.
Nobody's saying anything about Woody Allen or Harvey Weinstein. They let him off. Grown women said he did it, and they let him off. And when you say something about the black man, you're vilified, because you support men doing this, that, and the other to black women. baby, let me tell you something. No one has ever hurt the black woman more than the white man. But yet and still, we have so much love for them. We so much want to want their white, as I call it, their white acceptance. We got to do better.
Yeah, definitely. Does anybody else want to chime in before I read what I wrote as a description?
Yeah, this is LA from the CLE. I'm surprised that you didn't have very much to say, although you said you had very much to say, Nate, but that's okay. I do believe that Michael Jackson was tired. I bought the last video that he had made, This Is It, and he looked so tired, just tired physically. And the possibility of him being alive today is great, you know. But they said that Elvis is still alive. You know, they saying Tupac is still alive. And if anybody can pull that off, it's somebody like them, because they have the money and the resources to do that. It's just sad that there are a lot of black people today that really do believe that Michael Jackson molested those kids. And like the documentary that you, the tape that you had played, had mentioned, a lot of those people had recanted their stories. There is no amount of money that could be paid for a molested child. So if a parent accepted that kind of money and that their child had been molested, then I think there's something wrong with the parent. And when you're starstruck and you're thinking that you're doing something and you're sending your kids out there, you're supposed to have somebody chaperoning anyhow. You just don't go just because they have a high name or anything. So it's a lot of holes in the story. I don't know what may have happened, because anything is possible, but they're coming out now, just like you said, just before Black History Month. No, there is always someone out there looking to discredit a black superstar, especially someone that people are looking up to.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Anybody else on Supreme? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking the same thing. Like, this movie's coming out years after this man is dead, or whatever, they think he's alive or whatever. But as far as I know, he's dead. Anybody that really go to see this movie, like, okay, everybody got excited about the R. Kelly, because it's something we heard about for years and years and years. And now it finally hit the screen, and we wanted to see for ourselves and hear everything. Like, right now, going to see the Michael Jackson thing is like you just helping to wipe out a
destroy
legacy.
Your people.
Right. It's like you just being, that's just vicious right now. It was like, this stand up as a live man and face his demons and his accusations. But you were like even the Sandusky thing when they got rid of the Penn State guys. I mean, these were grown guys. They came out. Yeah, they was ashamed. They was gay football players or whatever they were. They were attacked by another man that was their coach that they looked up to. They crucified him. They crucified Joe Paterno. They crucified the school. But these were people that were alive to defend themselves or whatever they had to do to go down in flames. They were there. This man is not even around. And you coming up years later, after you went to court and said that it didn't happen, because I didn't really believe when he was on the I think they was trying to really vilify him when he was alive on that ABC, that Bashir special. And they were saying that, you know, it turned out to be a feel-good story and how great Michael Jackson is. And then he just went left right in front of your face with the little boy when they slept in the same bed together. And I think he did some goofy stuff. He was a messed up kid. He was a messed up adult. He didn't have a childhood. So him and his thinking as someone that never had a childhood, I believe he did lay down in the bed and sleepovers with other kids. But once again, where were these kids' parents? Who drops their kids off to Michael Jackson's house and leave them and then come back? If they say, Mom, he really did something really appropriate, or Dad, he did something appropriate to me, they could keep me out of Neverland. R. Kelly, as I got two daughters, you couldn't have enough security to keep me out of that house to bring mine home. And you couldn't keep me. You would have to leave Never Left Land if you was Michael Jackson, if you did something to my child. First of all, you wouldn't did nothing to my child, because I would have been with my child the whole time we in Neverland, and when it get dark, we leaving Neverland. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. my thing is, if you're going to vilify the whole thing. Vilify little Billy parents. Vilify people that took the money from R. Kelly that got paid off. There's a whole, if you're going to get guilty, let's all go down in flames. If you're going to accuse me after death and you're going to make a documentary, it better say something about everybody that did something to help this or help cover it up. Don't just come after Michael Jackson. And I ain't defending Michael Jackson. If he was a molester, he's wrong. If R. Kelly is a pedophile and a woman abuser, they wrong. Wrong is wrong. But all the people that helped that wrong happen is wrong too.
Right. Nate, did you want to say something before I want to break this show into three parts.
Right. I'm going to say this. The saddest part about this whole situation is this. Everybody knows why they went after Michael Jackson. They wanted to destroy Michael Jackson and make him sell off Sony, the Beatles, this, that, and the other. Michael Jackson, there's no black distributorship anywhere. No black man was distributing his own music. It was done via the Harvard study. You can look it up for yourself. Sam Cooke was the first black man to ever own his own stuff. What happened to Sam Cooke? Anybody know what happened to Sam Cooke? Look it up.
Yeah, they murdered him.
They murdered him, and then they made him out to be a bad guy.
Slandered his name.
Come on now. And the problem is, mm-hmm. I told somebody, I made a statement. Somebody said, Nate, you hit a woman before. I said, I hit men too. I came up. I'm that guy. If you hit me, I hit you back. That's always been the way I was taught to be. Now, I'm not saying that's right for some people. Some people may not agree with it. But where I come from, if you hit me, we are two hit people. And so they'll probably come up after I'm long gone and say, Nate did this, that, no, you won't. I'm already been untold on myself. I'm writing a book. I'm writing a tell-all book that's coming out, and I'm going to tell everything that I've ever done. That way, mm-hmm. you don't ever have to worry about saying I did something I didn't do. I'm going to tell it all. That way, when it's over. I'm dead, I'm gone, so what? But nobody says nothing about Charlie Chaplin, child molester. Nobody says nothing about Elvis Presley, child molester. Nobody says nothing about Jerry Lee Lewis, child molester. Nobody says nothing about Woody Allen. He raised his kitty, in the house, child molester. I can go on and on and on. Don Johnson was having sex with Melanie Griffin when she was a child. Look it up. Come on now. If we're going to do this, mm-hmm. let's put it all out there.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of them. I'm tired of them because what angers me more than anything else that we as black folk allow them to come at us like this. We as black folk keep allowing this. That bothers me more than anything else. We allow this foolishness. As my mama say, my grandma say, this devil myth. We allow
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have the nerve to act like our pastors ain't cheating on their wives in the church we go to.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. We ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about nothing.
Right.
We ain't talking about the very fact that the Catholic Church is the biggest conglomeration of homosexuals and child molesters the world has ever seen. I'm going to let y'all go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? That's the main reason why I want to do more shows like this, because I'm saying I think that there are a lot of people talking about it, right? And I applaud a lot of YouTubers, especially because it seems like YouTube is the new CNN. Like, they're taking over. They're the new Fox, Roland Martin, now that he's on YouTube. So many, you know, we're able to say, he's able to say what he wants to say. We're able to say what we want to say without this whole hypocrisy. You know,
but here's my question.
Hypocrisy movement. Uh-huh.
What is Roland Martin saying? Because I'll be honest with you, Roland Martin to me, he has really, there's some things that Roland Martin has said and has done that really make me look at him real suspect.
I get
from
the buck dancing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
He buck danced. Dude, he, between him and Terry Crews, I don't know who danced the hardest.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. There's such a fine line, you know, between what needs to happen. The only thing that I, again, applaud is it's forcing people to come out of hiding. Like the MAGA hat forces a lot of, you know, white people to come out of hiding. This whole, you have a right to speak. Hopefully when you open up your mouth, you got something to say. This whole right and, you know, freedom of speech has forced a lot of people to speak out. Right? So you'll use your channel, your platform to say something, whether you're tweeting or you create a whole video or something. You're talking, and you'll talk, you know, versus such and such. We're calling people to task, and it's really good that now you don't necessarily have black and white. There are a lot of nuances that exist, you know what I mean? And that's the beautiful part. When you got a Terry Crews who comes out and he says XYZ and posts up this photo of him, you know, jumping in the air, wearing a pink suit, you know, and Tariq Nasheed says something that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, you know what? It gives us an opportunity to listen to both sides and to see, take position, you know, and hopefully take action and do something with that information as opposed to just sitting back allowing things to educate us and move us in the direction it wants to move us. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's the biggest threat to any system now is to give us freedom. Freedom to publicly speak out, you know, and also talk to these people. A Cardi B will respond to you. A Tariq Nasheed will respond to you. Donald Trump will respond to your tweet. You can almost talk to these people directly, whereas, you know, what, a few years ago you couldn't? So I'm happy about that, but I am happy that he's on air talking about something. And then it's people like yourself who will say, oh, hell no. Nah, Roland, you were wrong for that. Do you know what I mean? And wake some folks up because now you're not the picture in the frame. You can look from the outside and see what you need to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm totally at a place in my life now where I understand. I understand exactly what I understand a lot of what's going on, not because I'm so educated, but because, you know what, a lot of these guys that are doing this stuff, I understand that they're doing it for monetary gain.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I see it every day. I'm like, really, dude? This is what we're doing now? This is really how we're carrying ourselves now. These are really the we're allowing people to say, let me tell you something. Have you guys noticed that you ain't finna say nothing bad about Elvis? White people ain't letting it happen. But we will
about
talk
about
Elvis. You ain't finna talk about Elvis? That's their king.
Right.
But, all right. Play if you want to. Play if you want to.
Public Enemy did, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Public Enemy,
can I make a statement?
Us. Yeah.
Valerie, can I make a statement?
Oh, certainly, Mr. Davis, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, as I listen to people talk, I notice a few things. One, you remember now when they accused the young man in Mississippi of whistling, they said that was true, and then now the lady who I believe is still alive or just died, she said that he did
do it. Emmett Till.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Emmett Till.
So remember that. Wait now. Remember that. And then remember this. There's actually what they call a dead celebrity list. And in the top five of those dead celebrities, I believe Marley's in there, Prince is in there, Michael Jackson's in there, probably Elvis and whomever else. So when you look at the people that have that kind of mindset, those are people that are anti-black people. Those are perpetrating stereotypes all over the world. They're not just doing that here, because I've traveled internationally, and I've seen when Vanessa Williams got in that dilemma. I was in Germany during that time. I thought she had killed somebody when I looked at all the paperwork when I was in Germany, and it was a scandal, but she hadn't murdered anyone the way they were perpetrating her all over the world. So I think everybody black should have to really read the Willie Lynch speech, because I think a lot of people, even as I listen to this conversation, they're suffering from that, even in 2019. You may not like it, but there it is. That's it for me.
Yeah. I keep telling folks, the only way that we're going to ever come to realize, we don't stay on code. We don't stay on code.
Mm-hmm.
White folks stay on code. Bruh, white folks stay on code. Tariq Nasheed,
what code should we stay on?
First of all, here's my issue. I'm not, we believe anything they say bad about us. We'll facilitate the white man's destruction of us because we believe the worst of each other. I don't believe the worst of black folks. I don't. I can't. I'm black. I can't believe that. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm saying there's enough of us to know better.
Make way for the young folks. Make way for the young folks. That's my motto. Make way for the young folks. That's the new generation.
Right.
We can't have that old thinking from, you know, we this and we that. We're not all in one boat. Some of us don't want to get in that boat because we see it sinking, and we're not going to ride with that. You go with them, but not all of us. So that's it for me, Valerie. I'll just listen now.
Contrary to popular belief, I just feel like this is. My grandmother made a statement to me many years ago. She said, the moment you forget who you are, they will remind you. She told me that many years ago. And I wondered what she meant. And I always wondered why my grandmother was always saying that. She said, the moment you forget who you are, they will make you remember. And our problem is, I think that, and I say it all the time, I'm not afraid to say it, there's a class of black folk that actually believe, because they've aspired to a certain place in their life, that they're accepted. And I'm just not that guy. I don't believe that. I can't believe that, because I know better.
They say,
Don King, yes sir.
They say you still a nigga in a coupe. You got a BMW. You look good in your big old house. You live good on the big old block. But you still that nigga.
You still a nigga in the coop.
You still a nigga in the coop.
I know that. If I'm being world champion, it ain't changed nothing. I'm still who they thought. Look, man, I was world champion, champion of the world with 3 world titles. And I would never forget one of the most ugly things I ever had happen to me was somebody made a statement, you know them niggas steal. And I'm thinking to myself, when the dude said it, I said, them niggas steal. I'm like, I got more money than anybody in the building. I'm the richest man in the building. And still, to this day, I know where I am. I know who I am. And I thank God for moments like that. Thank God for moments like that.
Right.
I mean, you really got to be like, when they pull the wool over your eyes, when you believe that, we come a long way from slavery or whatever, and a lot of this stuff that's going on, like you said, Willie Lynch, this is bigger. This is bigger than the mud smears and the campaigns that's going against us, for us, like us not liking each other and us not supporting each other and us not really going, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, give me $1 million, I'm going to buy some blocks and some businesses. You give the average rapper that ain't never had nothing $1 million, he's going to give it right back to Gucci, BMW. He's going to give it back to, you know what I'm saying? There's not really a black-made car, but I'm saying you really going to give it back to the, you're not going to buy from Harlem. You're not going to buy from 52nd Street, which is, you know, the black, like the pretty much Germantown Avenue, where a lot of the black stores are in Philadelphia. You're like, man, now I can go to Bloomingdale's. I can go to Macy's. I can go to, I'm going to spend so much jewelry with these Italian and Jewish jewelers that they're going to, and then when you broke, you really broke and you really gave all your money back to everybody that they laughing at you now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have nothing to show for yourself but a bunch of pair of sneakers in the closet. Or it's like, are you serious? Like, you didn't start a, you didn't put a basketball court on your, in your neighborhood. You ain't put a computer in the school. You did all that. You had all that money. You lost all that money. And you know who laughing? The white man who actually had the plan in the beginning, who taught, who brought Willie Lynch to every plantation to teach each plantation how to handle your niggas. Because for real, and Kanye was crazy for what he said, and it was damn right dumb. But you gotta really have some type of mental control over a family of maybe what, 4, 5, or 6, 8 count grandmom and grandpa in one big house, and about 30-40 slaves that lives around you and won't run, they won't attack you, they won't put. And some did, you know, there's some, but they had to make examples of them. And they made sure that the other ones know you don't do that, because you're going to get your privates cut off. You're going to get burnt by the state. Your biggest, strongest man going to get raped. And just think of all the mean things and freakish stuff that white folks have brought into this world that have come upon us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know, okay, yeah, you got to know where a lot of this freaky homosexual pedophilia, they've been raping little girls ever since the boat. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been raping black little girls from the boat. They've been putting the black man with another man since they've been pitting us together in wrestling matches and boxing matches, making money. So yeah, as of 2018, it's hard for a lost brother to really embrace another brother, because he taught, yo, I can't trust that dude because he likes it. I can't trust that girl because she's pretty. I can't trust this guy because he got a little more money than me. You know what I'm saying? So it's a bigger psychological thing that's going on, and nobody's recognizing that. That's why I was saying, if you're going to bring out the dirt on Michael Jackson, bring it all out. Because I think personally right now, I think in America or in the world today with the internet, people talking a little too much, because everybody got something to say about everybody else's shit. But nobody gonna say nothing about their stuff. Like my man said, yeah, I hear you. You ain't gonna have to hear about me. My mother taught me a long time ago, I want to hear what you did on the block. I don't want the neighbor to tell me you was drunk. I don't want the neighbor to tell me you was fighting. I want to know that you came home and tell me you. I learned to tell on myself early, so that way you ain't got to throw nothing up in my face ever. And I'm proud to be a black man, and I'm trying to love this community and try to empower and really trying to empower a whole bunch of lost people.
Mhm. Oh. Yeah. Now I want to add something based on that, because I want to make sure I do accomplish a goal, and that is to somewhat, you know, bring some attention to a way to possibly end a controversy that's spinning out of control, that has no relevance in this hour. But you know, not to make light of the situation, because child molestation, sexual abuse, those are real things, real problems that we need to address. So I'm not making light of that. But we went a different direction. I like to touch on that. Okay, so based on what everybody said, that movie, Surviving R. Kelly, which I will read something after we discuss this part that I'm about to introduce. That movie, Surviving R. Kelly, was not even intended to showcase truth. To me, it was about control, power, control, a.k.a. power. It was about, you know, slander. It was about manipulating, you know, movements, people. You know, it was almost like it was a social media experiment. Now, why do I say that? Because it was known that a large majority of the people who were involved in the cast, that were part of the cast, that were involved in the project, they knew that they were not telling the truth. They didn't vet these people. They didn't, you know, try to correct mistakes that were brought to their attention. They did nothing. They said, I think it was said in a couple videos that, I think Tariq Nasheed even said this, they had already put too much money into it to recant the ideas to do something about the lies that have been told. So they just put it out there. Do you know what I mean? Again, was this strategic? Is this about something else unbeknownst to us? What is really going on? Are we setting ourselves up for a female president? There's something going on, and I know that, because none of this is making sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they trying to do something behind the Iron Curtain to set it up for this Kamala Harris woman? You know what I'm saying? I don't put nothing to rest. I look at everything because I'm like, none of this makes sense. Pedophilia is huge in Hollywood. How is anybody? It's huge in the church. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all Catholics do. This is huge. This kind of stuff will get you shut down. It's almost as bad as talking about the LGBTQRST, whatever, community, right? You did certain things that it's just normal. So how is it they're going to put this out? People give this documentary a standing ovation. People will applaud it, knowing that this thing is based on lies. These people have perjured themselves. They have obstructed justice. They have, cases against these people, stuff that, you know, haven't resurfaced. But, I mean, there's so much involved on both sides. Nobody's paying attention to it, and they're just pushing these agendas out, these projects out in the form of entertainment, and they're hurting people's livelihood. I mean, slandering movements. I mean, it's just like just making light of real-life situations and stuff. What do we do with that part? Based on what you guys just said, it's about money, it's about power. How do we help save our people or you know what I'm saying? How do we protect the Michael Jackson or the
– get away from them. We did better.
Valerie.
Get away from what people, though? What are you talking about? Like, what people? Like – help me explain.
When I was growing up, if somebody in my family came and told me, if one of the kids came and said that such and such so and so touched them, the men in my family went around and handled that. Now y'all take that how you want. If you came at me, look, all right. When I told my daddy that somebody touched me, my daddy went and handled that. And I told him, I said, now, my father was a different man, was different when I told him I never told him about the female that touched me because my father was going on by that time. But I told my daddy about, so-and-so touched me, daddy. My daddy went around and handled that. My daddy took an axe handle and went and handled it. And there was no more talking about it.
Valerie, there is a lot of people out here that are very malicious. You know, some of it is true about touching and molestation. But then you will have those that just what happened with Chris Brown a few weeks ago. The lady made allegations of rape.
Tell it.
And then they found no evidence, none. And yet,
but
it went out
there. That's
exactly
my point.
And everybody jumped on it. Everybody
turned around, and Eve turned around and bashed that man in the ground. Y'all saw that?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't read the part about
Eve.
I got something to say, Valerie. That's my point. That's exactly my point. We got Miss Pearl.
So
Miss Pearl in the business. So we'll switch gears here in just about 10 minutes. I'm sorry, Mr. What were you guys saying?
Didn't also Chris Brown just get all his masters back?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I was about to bring that point up when Mr. Davis interjected. He said he wanted a fake rape claim right after that.
That, and there exactly should be something
point.
Done concerning that as well when you have someone that falsely accuses anyone. And,
right.
You know, that takes away from law enforcement. That takes away from the safety of the people that causes fear. And then you have the people that are afraid of just the ability of what you could do with your talent. And they will do anything and everything to try to stop you from being an influence for young people. You know, the number of young boys that want to dance like Chris Brown, the number of young boys and young girls that Michael Jackson influenced over the years, and the people, you know, still were supporting him. This concert that he was due to have before he died would have had been one of the biggest concerts in the world over Elvis Presley. You know, it's a lot of things that come into my mind, conspiracy, as to how could that really have happened when, you know, he had such a big influence around the world, in Germany, in Japan, in Switzerland. You know, he had a lot of power, and a black man with power, for some reason, I'm going to just put it out there, it scares more black people than it do the white. And the black people that are afraid will sell out us to the white people quicker than the white man will do harm to us.
What I want to really get across is what happens too often, in my opinion, is we start investigating it too far down the rabbit hole versus looking at it on the surface. Let's just say real quick, just for the sake of time, because as I mentioned, we got Miss Pearl Jr. in the house, and I want her to explain, you know, how she introduced the narrative, that the thing we're talking about right now. It seems like they will sacrifice blacks to make a point, specifically black men. Okay, if we start looking and it's like we're easy, black men are easy targets, because especially men whose careers have already been tainted. Let's talk about real quick, or me, Chris Brown. Chris Brown, to me, the bigger picture is, here's a young black man who, like Supreme just mentioned, he is in line to get his master's. He just signed a master's contract. Then all of a sudden, out of the ether, some woman claims, with no evidence, no proof, no backing, no nothing, hey, you know what, this person raped me. Easy prey. Why? Because that's part of his resume. Chris, we knew what he did to Rihanna, so we can do that. This is how we take him down. But also, is it part of another bigger picture? Again, do we taint the black men? Do we make America, the world, hate black men so much that they won't vote for another black man, that they will want a black woman? If this is the case, I don't know. Again, is this about Kamala Harris? I don't know. But I'm just saying, sometimes I think we spend so much time talking about, oh, well, what Chris did since, and all that other stuff. What about the stuff that's relevant to that hour? You know what I'm saying? Why talk about that? That this thing with R. Kelly, all these people, how they use all those hypocrites in that video. Can we really talk about R. Kelly when you got all those hypocrites? Look at Drea running around here talking, and Drea don't jump. She vacillated from one point to another point. She looked thirsty. She looked like she was da-da-da. She using the man's last name. All this stuff. Can we really believe anything that she's saying? How did they figure that was a legitimate person to even put in that? And then on top of that, to add to insult, you add Charlamagne the God to it, who, again, was just recently in the news for the same thing that you're talking about in this video. It makes absolutely no sense to me. It's just like they're mocking you, right, to with the end goal being the black man. Do you turn black, like Nate said, like a bunch of you said, you break down the family by turning the black woman against the black man. Then on top of that, you make the black man the most hated around the world. How do you – are we looking at the bigger picture? And what is it? These are the conversations I definitely want to have, because we know the R. Kelly story. We know the Chris Brown story. We know, you know, all these people. We know their stories. But what is really going on? What are they really doing? Why is Kamala Harris jamming the Cardi B? Why? That doesn't make sense to me. Why did that video go viral? That makes no sense to me. Cardi B, out of all people, huh? The stripper, the woman, the lady who y'all say is uneducated, can't articulate well. How did her message make it all the way to the White House? What kind of messages are we sending? What are we saying? Cardi B, of all people, this is our female white Jesus now, or Puerto Rican Jesus? I don't know. What are we saying? And I guess I'll let you make your point. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna say this. A lot of people don't want to hear me say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. How many people really know the whole? They keep saying they know the Chris Brown story, but nobody really talks about the Chris Brown story. They keep saying Chris Brown hit Rihanna. I say okay. I said Paul Mooney made one of the greatest jokes in the history of the world about that. He said, "You don't bite somebody that you beat. You only bite when you're losing." He was driving a Lamborghini. She was weighing his ass out while he was driving that car. Let's get that established. She was tagging him while he was driving that car. I've ridden a Lamborghini. And you ain't finna reach over and punch nobody and keep driving that car without tearing it up for the most part. But let's get this established. In that car that night, there was one adult in that car. Who was it?
You said one adult?
There was one adult in the car that night.
I don't know.
It wasn't Chris Brown.
Because there were two people. It was Chris and Rihanna.
Yeah, Chris was 17.
Rihanna was 18, 19.
Rihanna was the adult.
Rihanna was the adult.
Right.
But he went to jail and was tried as an adult when she was beating him up. Just because he hit harder, he got in trouble. At any given time, everybody in the room could have went to jail because they had both been drinking. They were both under 21. Nobody ever talked about that.
Right, right. Oh, wow. I'll give anyone who wants the last word. We're down to our last 30 minutes of the show, but does anybody else have anything to say before I play this audio clip and bring in Ms. Pearl Jr.?
Yeah, I would.
To help us make sense of this Michael Jackson, the mute Michael Jackson controversy. Okay, yes, sir.
I just want to say that it looks like it's so easy to trick most black people. A lot of black people call themselves African American. That's confusion in itself. But when they can keep black people talking about things like I just heard, then they're ruling and stealing the world. See, I heard one person say something about the rappers. See, all rappers are not categorized in the same group. They're all black men, but they're not all the same. There's black rappers out here on the West Coast that I personally know that are helping black people in the neighborhoods they come from, namely Snoop Dogg. He got a bad rap coming in. He's turned out to be a wonderful human being. And he, as well as E-40 and the Stevenson family up in Vallejo. So I'm not all for we all going to go this way. If it's not working, I'm going the other way. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Valerie.
Oh, thank you, definitely. And thank you, too, to everybody. Let's add Ms. Pearl Jr.
I'm sorry, I'm not talking about, like, all the
I'm
rappers.
I'm ready to go on an interview. Radio.
We got to get another person in now.
All right.
Yeah. Supreme, do you have a final thought? And then I'm going to play this audio clip and then bring in Ms. Pearl Jr.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm not talking about all the rappers, man. All the rappers that's like over 40, which are the ones that are grown and went through the mistakes and the ups and downs. I'm talking about the ones that these kids are looking up to, like the new generation of rappers. Like,
uh-huh.
They could be a little more conscious about what's going on and what they're putting out in their music. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
They said they're
right.
About Snoop coming in, you know.
All right, so at this time, what I'd like to do is pay tribute to the one and only Pearl Jr.
Millions believe Elvis did it, but did Michael Jackson really do it? Fake is death. Alive, is Michael Jackson really dead? Investigative journalist Pearl Jr. uncovered the facts in the 2005 trial. Now, he's uncovered the most shocking true story of our lifetime. Alive, is Michael Jackson really dead? This promises to blow your mind.
All right, guys, we're back. listening to Big Exclusives. I'm Valerie Denise Jones. ValerieDeniseJones.com, hashtag Valerie Denise Jones. 929-477-1167. At this time, I'd like to go on and open up the mic of Miss Pearl Jr. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Fine. How are you, Valerie?
Hello. Hi. Yes. So we had a chance
sorry,
to have
I
a nice little round table.
Sorry I got mixed up on the time.
Oh, that's okay. You're here, and so we'll have about 25 minutes to love on you. So, hey, better late than never, I say. Well, speaking of never,
okay.
In the Neverland. so can you make some sense? Because I found you had a video. You had a video on YouTube. Again, I was definitely, I believe you titled it properly, best title ever, because it's very fitting. Michael Jackson Neverland documentary isn't a documentary, just words from liars. So again, I'd like to welcome you to the show, because we are talking today about why are these narratives being pushed when it can be proven that the parties involved have falsified information, documentation. They're purging, they're extorting people for money, they're outside of statute of limitations, they're obstructing justice, ... Welcome to the show, Miss Pearl.
Yes, thank you. Yes, you're very, very good. I'd like to kind of stick to, like, facts instead of opinion. When it comes down to discussing this documentary and discussing the situation surrounding the making of this documentary, I covered the 2005 trial, and I sat in the courtroom, and I did a documentary on it called Michael Jackson, The Trial and Triumph of the King of Pop, that Warner Brothers picked up just I signed the distribution deal just 7 weeks before, so it was out at the height of Michael Jackson is dead pandemonium. And what I noticed while I sat in that trial was how the media and how everyone else spun it to make Michael look guilty in front of the whole world. And when I and my documentary comes from my 30-minute talk show called True Talk Straight Out of L.A., and I did one 30-minute show for every week of the trial, and I told the absolute truth. And I knew that they had nothing, no evidence, no proof. Now, the way the judicial system works in the entire United States is that you are innocent until proven guilty. And if they're guilty but you can't prove it in a court of law, then they're not guilty. We're talking about proof, evidence, and facts. And when it comes down to James Safechuck and Wade Robson, both of them have testified, James Safechuck with a signed declaration saying that Michael never molested him. That's the same thing as testimony. It's under oath. Wade Robson testified as a little boy in a deposition for the 1993 case, which Michael settled because his insurance company paid the money. And I just released two documents, legal documents, stating that the insurance negotiated and paid the settlement. I believe that Michael got money when in 93 when he had to cancel his tour while these allegations were out. And plus, Debbie Rowe, who is the mother of Prince and Blanket Jackson, she said that they addicted Michael Jackson to drugs purposely. Her, Dr. Klein, and Dr. Hoffman, she said that during the Catherine versus AEG live trial. But back to the 93 case. So in 93, it was settled by insurance. That's why, and a lot of people don't understand that. Michael was embarrassed. He's shy to talk about sex, and especially sex with little boys. Could you imagine the horror and the fear? So when he was talked into settling, and he had the money from the insurance, so he was like, sure, I'll settle. I just wanted to go away. And he wanted to fight it, but after they convinced him, he said he agreed to settle, obviously. So Wade Robson testified as a little boy, along with his mother, Joy, and his sister as well, saying Michael never did anything. And the sister also said she slept in the bed with Michael. Karen Faye, Michael's makeup artist, said she slept in the bed with Michael. Michael would get up in the middle of the night. They would have slumber parties. They all fall asleep. Michael's bed was huge. His bedroom's two stories. And when he would wake up in the middle of the night because they fell asleep on a movie or whatever, he'd make a pallet on the floor, and he would finish his sleep out on the floor. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that Michael's sitting there just having boys in his bed, naked, and they're doing things. Michael, his biggest problem was he was naive, and he believed in this Disney type of childhood that he thought he could bring to children, and he would make the world a better place because they would grow up and they'd be more loving, and then they'd end wars, and, you know, it was just a very naive and simple way of thinking that he had, which got misconstrued into something sexual. Nothing has ever proven that Michael Jackson had sex with children. Nothing has ever proven that. Monica Lewinsky, she had the dress, okay? She had the dress. And so she had proof, okay? There's never been any proof that Michael Jackson molested any child. He was very naive. He was very just loving like that. And with this documentary, Leaving Neverland, is the testimony of two men. And these two men are admitting that they lied before, but, you know, you got psychologists and psychiatrists that will say, oh, that's common, that people will deny it and then claim it later. You know, I propose that if you say something under oath, that you should be held to that forever. And if you ever change your testimony, you, no matter who filed, somebody has to file charges against you, but you should be filed charges. Right now, the reason why charges aren't being filed on Safe Chuck and Wade Robson for perjury is because of statute of limitations could be an issue, but also it has to be filed by the district attorney of Santa Barbara. And the district attorney of Santa Barbara is not going to file charges because they are now testifying as if to redeem or get rid of the verdict, which was Michael Jackson not guilty on all 14 counts. So I think that it should not be up to just that person to say you perjured. It should be up to the law, okay, to charge you with perjury because they're making a mockery of the judicial system. Wade Robson said that he never forgot what happened. Okay, he told that to Matt Lauer in one of his first interviews about when he came out to say that Michael molested him. Now, let's get a little bit of more backstory on this. The backstory is that Wade Robson went out for a job for Michael Jackson One Cirque du Soleil show. He thought he had that job. He is on camera stating that he has that job. He did not get that job. And that is at the same time that things started going bad where he was trying to write a book. No publisher would touch it. Then he decided to file the lawsuit. Then after 5 years from like May of 2013 all the way up to December 2017, he had plenty of opportunity. And the estate gave him plenty, ample opportunity to prove his case. The case was dismissed. It was dismissed with Robson, December 2017, Safechuck, June 2017, and it was dismissed from the estate, which was in 2015. They were suing MJJ Productions and MJJ Ventures for $1.5 billion. So I believe that this is a case of revenge, and it's a case of trying to, now that you're getting older and maybe jobs aren't coming because before you were able to have Michael help you and Michael's not here to help you anymore, I don't know. But things have changed, and he is purposely lying, purposely, because he said he never forgot. Then he said, well, I didn't know it was wrong. Wait a minute. You're a 23-year-old man, right, in 2005. You're in your 20s. You know what sex is. You're a married man. You know what sex is. So when you were asked, did Michael Jackson have sex with you, and you said you always remembered, and you said no emphatically, you were Wade Robson was so emphatic that Michael Jackson never molested him. He told that to his mother. He told that to his sister. He told that on talk shows. He told that under oath in 93 and 2001. He was so sure that Michael Jackson never molested him that when he was cross-examined by Tom Snedden, who was out to get Michael for 10 years, under brutal cross-examination, he stood his ground. Now, Tom Mesereau chose Wade Robeson to be his first witness for the defense. Now, why would Michael want somebody that he molested every time? This is what he said. Every chance Michael got for 7 years, he molested him. Every chance. That's what Wade said. Every chance for 7 years, he molested him. Why would you want that person to be on the stand? Because they could get tripped up by polished prosecutors. So they're... It's just so nonsensical. And now that a camera's in their face, they're going to tell a horrible, sad story about Michael molesting them and to make it believable because the director already did a documentary called The Pedophile Hunters and the law firm that – I know I'm going on and on because there's so much – and the law firm that handled the last part of Wade and Jimmy Safechuck's case, they are child sex abuse litigators who have won over $140 million by suing the LAUSD and clergy. So these are experts on what to say, how to say it, how not to get tripped up. And the reason why I believe Safechuck and Robeson both say every time Michael had sex with them every chance they got, well, so they don't get tripped up in a lie. Because if you say every time, you don't have to match this time with that time and this time with that time. You're just all the time. You follow me? So this is all carefully crafted Hollywood Superman. Let's make it believable that a man can fly in the air. You know, and you believe that when you're watching the movie. And then when you come out of the movie, you know that that's not true. So this movie has been staged. It has been perfected by people who are experts in knowing how to make people look guilty for child from being abused as children.
Okay, and again, I want to definitely make sure that I use the last 15 minutes wisely, and I thank you again so much for stopping by and sharing that. I wanted to touch on something because, like I said earlier, this is huge. Everything that you said makes sense, and people can Google every aspect of what you just said. You know, and use that as a receipt because it's truth. Like you said, it's not lies. It is all true. And so having said that again, I still, because they are taking down a lot of black men who, in my opinion, it will, if we use a Michael Jackson or an R. Kelly, it will spend so much time because there's so much to their story. So much time that we will never get back to, is there another agenda? What is the deal with the timing? Right around the time, like I said, Kamala came out and announced she's running for president. Is this a male versus female thing? Is this in the Chris Brown case, is this about, you know, blacks, power, money? I don't know. To me, it seems like it has some kind of political undertone, and they're using our legend, right? They're punishing,
you know,
punishing their brand. They're using them as to further support. Because I only say this, Pearl. The only reason I say this is I did not get the reason when my antennas went up is when Kamala was dancing to Cardi B, and I was like, oh no, this is about something else. There's absolutely no reason that this is the same woman that they've been quoting. She's been talking about the shutdown. She's been blah, blah, blah. There's something else going on. It's just my tin hat is just tingling like crazy. I think they're using this Michael Jackson story for something bigger.
Well, I mean, if we want to go historically, we have always been an oppressed people. So this is just the same goal, but with different types of methodology, you see. So we have, you know, to use a phrase, a foot on our neck as far as black people are concerned. As far as Wade Robeson and what's going on now, this started back May 2013, you know, as far as being a public story. So you can't just say right now. No, I do find it interesting that after the R. Kelly documentary, then we got this documentary like right on the back of it, and how those women were so convincing. I mean, they were so convincing. To me, R. Kelly is a dog. Okay, he's what, when you sit with your sister, your sister friends, and you say he's a dog man, he's a dog. Okay, he dogs women. So, but we also know that R. Kelly was for sure a pedophile because he married a 15-year-old girl and lied and said she was 18 on the marriage certificate. So we know that as fact. Elvis Presley got with Priscilla when she was 14. Okay, but Elvis has a clean reputation because he waited till she was over 18 and married her and had a kid with her. So we forgive that he was a pedophile and he was messing with a 14-year-old girl. You see what you see? So there is a double standard. What white people can do a lot, like I always think about the Bernie Madoff situation, how Bernie Madoff was able to fool people and do a Ponzi scheme for years, for billions of dollars. And the reason why he was able to get away with it is because he was a white, male, Jewish guy, and he fit the stereotype of what investors are supposed to be. If he was a black guy, they would have caught him the first $100,000, because there is a propensity by people who are powerful to always look at black people with, you're a scam artist, something about you ain't right, something about you is demonic, something about you can't be trusted. Now, I want to use, if we want to go to the philosophical thing, but I want to just say one more fact about this, but I do want to do, I want to write a note so I don't forget. Okay, I do want to go back to a couple of facts that I had forgotten about the Michael Jackson, Wade Robeson leaving Neverland. The FBI had investigated Michael for 10 years, found nothing. The L.A. Police Department investigated the same charges with the Arvizos for the 2005 case. They passed on it. The L.A. District Attorney, they passed on it. Child and Family Services didn't find anything. It was Tom Snedden who put a card underneath the door of the Arvizo family because he wanted to take Michael down with a vengeance. And he had a success record in Santa Barbara district attorney office is higher than like 90% of other district attorneys, where his prosecution rate was in the mid-90s. So everybody that he had an eye out for, he got his conviction. But he lost big time on the Michael Jackson case because there was just no evidence. Okay, so now let's go back. I think that it's even deeper than I listened to you and your guests for a while, and you want to talk about racism and the pretty much the criminalizing of black people or the negative stereotypes of black people. There was I always use this one. There was a big movement called Comey 2012, and it was this documentary that was so well put together. My God, it was put together so well. And it was about this African leader who was a bad guy, and these people wanted to bring down this bad guy who was an African leader. He was killing people, and this white guy was great. He was explaining it to his four-year-old son, and it was like the fastest viral video in the history of YouTube at the time. Okay, now viral isn't viral anymore. The internet is so controlled by powerful people. Viral is because somebody allowed you to have access to those people. But back to Comey 2012. So this was a movement, and it was going fast, and people were buying bracelets, and people, you know, they were going to go yell in the streets. And here we are in America. But it was about, you know, racism, and they're talking about an African leader, right? And it was just growing up, and people were like, oh, my God, I'm so disgusted. Oh, my God, right? This same guy who was the white guy who was going to be the hero, we found him in San Diego on a corner dancing naked. What? And it killed the movement. What? Wait a minute. How did this happen? I wonder if there's MK Ultra, which is something back in the 1950s where they do mind control. I wonder if powerful people, if they're, I mean, you have the world at your feet. Why are you, why did Bill Cosby, what the heck? What is going on? Okay. So either it is something that they put in your mind to make you crazy, or somebody's manipulating you and telling you that, like with Michael, for example, Michael's love for kids was innocent. I have studied Michael Jackson I've loved him since 1969, but I've studied him professionally since 2005 trial. And I'm talking about tens of thousands of hours of research, right? I have not found anything that showed me that Michael Jackson was a pedophile. He loved children. And anybody who sees a picture that might look suspicious, somebody was in the room that took the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
right,
was in the room
right,
who took the picture.
Right,
okay. So
right,
a lot of times people don't understand exactly what they're looking at or understand what's going on. If Michael was having, and then James Safechuck said that Michael would have sex with him every time he saw him, and when they would have a slumber party full of people, Michael would say, psh, psh. They'd go in another room. Michael would have him do sexual things to him, but Michael was always careful not to get caught. And then send the kid back in the room with everybody? Wait a minute.
Right.
You see what
right,
I mean? He's going to send you back to a room full of people after he just sexually molested you and didn't think nothing was going to happen. This is reckless
right,
behavior. Okay, so their
right,
stories cannot possibly be true, but people who have the sympathy, oh, we should believe Me Too, and we should believe people, we should believe leaders. We don't know what to believe anymore because we have a president right now who lies like I've never seen anyone lie before and has no shame about the lie, has no shame about the lie. Media will point it out, show it to him in his face, and he will say, wasn't me. You know, with the Access Hollywood tape, he came out later and said, wasn't me. What? It's right here. We see you. Here's the video of you saying that. He lies like it's nothing. So right now, we are such a money-hungry society, money-hungry, power-hungry society, that we will lie at the drop of the dime if we think it's going to bring us a benefit, it's going to bring us revenge, it's going to bring us satisfaction, it's going to bring us money. You see? So we have to be very diligent to do our homework. Now, you played the commercial of Is Michael Jackson Really Alive? You know, I did an Alive trilogy of Michael. I believed Michael was dead June 25th, 2009. I believed that. I was at UCLA before any other media was there. I was there just minutes after the SUV got there, okay? Nobody was there. It was quiet. Then I finally ran into some fans, and they told me Michael was in the hospital. Michael was there. Now, there's more backstory to this. There's a lot more story that I get into. But what I want to say is I believed the media, what they told me at that time that Michael was dead, right? But after listening to the fans and looking at research and looking at evidence and looking at facts, I was like, wait a minute, and clues, I was like, wait a minute. And I took notes. And after 7 months of notes, Valentine's Day 2014, I had two notebooks full of notes. I decided I was going to write a book because Michael Jackson's death is a hoax. Nothing checks out. 911 call, his name's not mentioned. UCLA, his name is not, he's not admitted into UCLA. Even during the Murray trial, they didn't use his name. Okay, during the Murray, they still used the patient by the name of Soleil Shawn and Trauma Gershwin. Moving on. After that, you go to the coroner. The coroner lied about how he named and identified the body with a driver's license in the name of Michael Joseph Jackson. I got a letter from the DMV and had the DMV research it. Michael never had a driver's license in the name of Michael Joseph Jackson. Michael's name is Michael Joe Jackson, per FBI files, per driver's license, per passport, per his family members, okay? Then you go to, after the coroner's, then you go to Forest Lawn. Still no name on the grave. It's doggone near 10 years. There's still no name on that crypt that they spent $590,000 for. This ain't a privacy issue. It's in a locked building with surveillance cameras and motion sensors. So how is that's the privacy, and it's supposed to be in a crypt you can't even open. And Forest Lawn is so huge, but if you were able to get the body out, you got to drive about a mile to get out the place.
Right.
You know, so.
And I want to stop you right there because we're down to our last 5 minutes, and I definitely feel like we definitely need to do a part two because I wanted to ask you, you said something that was very crucial during your video. Again, she has a YouTube channel. Please make sure that you peruse the channel. The title of the channel is Pearl Jr. Documentary Filmmaker. Please make sure you stop by, and the video that I mentioned is there on the YouTube site. But I want to make sure that you know, I ask you before they turn the lights out, can we do a part two? Because you said something about soliciting help from the Jackson family, because this is very, very important, being that they've sullied Michael's name, and there's so many moving parts that members of the family as well as the issues linked would be affected. So I want to talk to you about that. So at this time, if you could give us your contact information, and then I'm going to quickly go around the board and get everybody else's contact information so that we can stay connected.
Yes, the family is getting involved. Taj, Tito's son, Michael's brother's son, TJ, Brandy, which is Jackie's daughter, Yoshi's, Reeby's daughter. Oh, Wade Robeson dated two of Michael's nieces, too. I mean, it just gets so ridiculous. It just gets so ridiculous. But anyway, and Jermaine Jackson is usually the spokesperson for the family, and he was on Good Morning Britain yesterday morning and talking about this is nonsense. It's ridiculous. Okay, Wade has written – it's just ridiculous. Wade has supported Michael in more ways than anyone could imagine, and then for him to do a 360 is ridiculous. If you want to know more about me, you can go to my my website, which links you to all of my documentaries, called MichaelJacksonInsider.com, or just Google Pearl JR, and they'll take you to my Alive trilogy of Michael Jackson docs, my documentary called Michael Jackson, The Trial and Triumph of the King of Pop. I wrote a book about suicide. Did Michael Jackson fake his death to save his life? You see, that's so crucial, okay, because he was so haunted, and he knew after he was acquitted, he was like, they're going to put me in jail. There are news articles dating back to 1994 where Michael says he wants to fake his death, okay, right after the 93 allegations, because he wanted out of the fame, but he loved singing and he loved entertaining, and that was his heart, and that's really what he knew how to do. Ever since he was a little kid, it was his dream to be a famous singer and a famous entertainer. So he wanted out, but he still wanted his legacy and his music to live on. So what do? You fake your death, you know, so you can control your legacy. And then this comes. And there's so much more, but you can go to my website, MichaelJacksonInsider.com, and it should link you to everything except my YouTube channel. There might be a link, but if not, you were right. Just go to YouTube and put in Pearl JR.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And again, I guess this would be around three for us because I definitely want to touch bases with you because the story isn't out yet. So we definitely need to hear from you to find out what's going on the inside. I do not have time to reach out to everybody, but I do want to thank today's panel. Thank you so much, LA. Thank you, Supreme and Nate. And today's sponsor, Lambert Davis, thank you so much. I see Philo the Great is on the board. I see Raymond Dickerson. I see a couple other people. Rhonda, I think she dipped in. Tia and Cody. Thank you guys so much for participating. I really, really appreciate all that you do. Thank you again, Miss Pearl. I will call you and see what we could do. Because like I said, I want to mute this hypocrisy because it's gone too far. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to work with you to find out what we can do to stop them from smearing his name, because I am a huge, MJ fan. I'm VJ, he's okay. MJ. Then there's our connection. But anyway.
Okay, great. Wonderful. I'd love to come back. I'd love to come back and discuss further.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. I love you to life, and I love everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, 929-477-1167. We've got a great show for you tomorrow, a part two of the roundtable that we started last week on the Judge Joe Brown Show tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Please stay safe, stay prayed up, and stay out of the news. Find some way to stay out of the news, because we don't want you to be the next controversy or campaign. All right, guys, have a great day on the other side.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Or visit MissValerieDeniseJones.com for details.